Bibles, go ahead and turn now to Acts chapter 3. I'll read there later on in this message. I'm on a brand new series, just finished one that was called Strengthened. I really felt at the beginning of the year that what God wants to do in this season we're in is to start giving us strength in every area of our lives, including our marriages, our finances, our relationships, in our realm of our thoughts, our thinking, our speech. And so I'm praying to God that the messages we have for the past 4 weeks here, they took root in your life. The Word of God will not return void, but will accomplish everything He wants it to accomplish here. And another word I'm hearing is, like, as I come back from Myanmar last week here, and I just confirmed here for our prayer meeting on Thursday night as well, hearing this word again and again and again, is the word restoration. I really believe now that God is going to take and give us a season to see lost things restored and to see restorations take place in areas that we cannot accomplish in our power, our might, but that God can accomplish because all things are possible with the Lord. We're going to see in this series called The Path to Restoration, we're going to see that today's first message here is called that God is able to restore. We're going to see again that God's going to, I believe, build faith inside of each one of us, that no matter what we have gone through as far as loss is concerned in the past, God's a God that's going to bring restoration to us in a way that's going to totally astound us, not just for our help and our sake, but also for those who watch us and those who will be influenced also by that. So today, this first message is what I call an introduction to restoration. There's going to be a whole lot more depth talked about in the next few weeks here, so try to be here if you can all these Sundays of the month of February, and we may go beyond that as well, a week or so beyond that, because I believe God's going to help us define restoration, receive revelation about restoration, and realize that restoration is part of what God wants to bless us with in our lives. So starting out here again, I want to say, first of all, we all know that life is full of ups and downs. Life is full of sad days sometimes, but hopefully happy, glad days most of the time. Life is full of curveballs. Things happen to us sometimes unexpectedly that we have no control over, we had no warning of, and it seems like things sometimes catch us unawares. And so again, knowing all these things here, a good choice is for us to help to pray to God to make good choices, because many of our ups and downs in life and our good days and sad days happen because of choices we make ourselves. And the first thing God is saying to us, I believe, this morning is don't be playing the blame game, always trying to find someone to blame for bad mistakes or bad choices we make in our lives. Sometimes, again, we don't always call upon God's name. We don't take time and patience to hear the best solution for things we face in life. And so sometimes bad choices we make will turn around and bite us somehow, some way, and bring some difficulties, some challenging areas in our lives. But also good choices, on the other realm, bring forth continued blessings in our lives. The Bible says God gives us wealth and adds no trouble to that. When you make good choices by God's wisdom and God's grace, He'll bring forth ongoing blessings from that. I found whatever God sets in motion, it stays in motion. Even all of creation, all of the universe, scientists tell us it's still being created. It is still expanding out beyond all the borders they've seen in times past. We need to also take and realize we've got to own our choices. It's not always, again, someone else's fault. Sometimes also these complications take place because of others' choices around us. Because we find there's folks in our lives that are closely connected to us, like our father, our mother, our spouses, even our sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, because of choices they make, it can influence our lives in a negative or a positive way. And so those things also are to be considered this morning. Sometimes there's also a combination of the two things. Then there's also some things that happen because of the world we live in. How many folks realize that sometimes blessings come on us just by simply being alive in Texas? Amen? All Texans said amen. If you go to nations like Myanmar, nations that are like third world countries, they call it, overseas, and Haiti, and places again around the world that are impoverished, you would be very, very grateful for all the things around us that are set in place that blesses our lives. We're sometimes blessed by rainfall that comes on our state or our city in times of drought. We're sometimes blessed because they discover oil in our state, and it lowers our taxes and brings forth better highways, better roads. You can go right across the Texas border in Oklahoma and see how blessed we are having good roads in Texas. Amen? And then go beyond that to Kansas, and you'll kind of see that things are also different in every state around us. Also, blessings come on entire nations. Because nations choose to serve God or put Jesus Christ first, The blessings of America took place, I know, because this place has called themselves a Christian nation. And they've called upon the name of Jesus Christ years ago. And they came here for religious freedom. And, of course, some things are going backwards in those realms around us today. But the good news is there's still a whole lot of salt and a whole lot of light upon nations like this. And because the godly are here among us in our country, there are so many blessings being released upon this nation every single day. You'd be amazed to know what Satan would desire to do to our country that's not taking place, because God's put a hedge around us because of his people in this place. In the Old Testament, time and time again, we see that God would remove the righteous first out of Sodom and Gomorrah, wherever, before he actually brought destruction to those places. The righteous are a preservative. The righteous bring forth blessings, and God's people only do good wherever they live upon the earth. Amen? Also, the other realm, of course, is whenever there's sin that rules over a nation, that's a bad choice, and it brings forth bad results from that, as we again can see in nations like Haiti and places that take and serve demons and false idols and so forth. It only brings reproach to places like that as well. So many people, again, in life go through challenges where sometimes you might even take and see attacks take place from the devil himself. Sometimes negative things happen because Satan and demons around us will orchestrate bad events for us. Even folks sometimes get sick. And unfortunately, some folks even lose their own spouse, their own children to death way too early in their lives. As all these things take place around us in calamities sometimes, we'd all love to have what's called a pause button, a reset button, or kind of hold and time out type button. But the sad truth is that time out button does not exist. Life keeps right on going on, even beyond the tragedies we face day by day in this life. That is where God comes in, and God brings forth somehow his grace, his peace, his answers, his solutions, turning all things together for the good for those who are called by according to his purpose, and those who love him and those who know him. Amen. So many people just get up and they keep going on the other side of tragedies in their lives. And that's not what God's best solution and best answer is for us, because when they do that, they have not dealt properly with the calamity they've gone through in life, and there's sometimes a void in them that only Jesus Christ can fill, and there's a place inside their heart and their life that God wants to touch, and God wants to bring forth restoration to that that only he can bring. We're talking this morning here about loss, and I know in my own life with Cheryl and myself, moving here to Austin, Texas back in 1994 from Kansas, we had gone through 15 years of fruitful ministry from the time of 1979 to 1994. I married her in 1981. I did 2 years of evangelism while going to Bible school at Christ for the Nations. For 15 years straight, with some Bible school thrown in there as well, we saw ourselves going through different kinds of fruitful ministries and evangelism and pastoring and ministering and so forth around this nation and finally overseas to South Africa as well. Then we found ourselves moving here in 1994 to Austin, Texas, and laying all public ministry aside for a period of 3 years. I found myself working for 2 years in a construction trailer building farmer home houses in Leander and also Kyle, Texas. And then finally beyond that, doing a whole year of irrigation inspections, going around with Clean Cut, inspecting underground, underwater sprinkler systems around this city. Those 3 years, I kind of looked back at those and I thought, those were the lost years in my life. I was not doing public ministry, bearing the kind of fruit I'm used to bearing from pulpits and platforms and podiums or whatever else, because God has called me primarily and us primarily to a public ministry like this in a speaking type way. And so those 3 years, once they were actually over and I found myself back in ministry once again in a public type fashion, I would look back at those sometimes with a sense of loss in my life. 94 through 97, the lost years. What I want to say to you this morning is what God would say back to me and God would say back to you is there's really no such thing as lost years in your life. God is saying even those things that appear to be a wilderness experience for us, God will even use those in good ways for us. Because again, all things will work together for the good for those who are called according to God's purpose. This morning, maybe some folks here today, though, that you're going through some thoughts about some lost months or lost years or lost money or lost degrees or lost whatever. And God is here today to say to you, his word is very plain and very, very rich to us about these things. But there really is nothing lost in this short life we have For God cannot repay and restore back to us many fold what we think was taken from us in that lost time. Okay? Let's look at loss. I could say to myself for years and years till I go to the grave, I could say I lost 3 years of my life. Because of that, I'm now feeling depressed. I'm feeling weighted down. I'm feeling discouraged. I'm feeling regretful. And regret covers my mind every day I wake up in my life. I could choose a life like that. Think about those 3 years here being wasted somehow, some way. Or I could get my eyes and my focus upon what God says about the time. Those 3 years took place where I call downtime. And get his mind, his word, because what God says to us in the Bible is, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And I believe that God actually would rebuke us sometimes and say, why are you talking like this? Why are you thinking like this? And why are you believing like this? I know the days you have on the earth is what God would say to us, and those days are not wasted days. As long as you know my son Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, as long as he is first in your life, every day is the day the Lord has made. And what you call lost days, I'm going to redeem those days for you, says God. And the fruit you might have lost back in those years or months or whatever, God can restore that fruit, even that lost fruit, back to us in the way only he can do. I'm saying right now there's an anointing, there's a season upon the body of Christ. I believe this strongly, that God's going to help us take and make some declarations out of our mouth. Not about regrets and about what could have been, what should have been, but of what God says is going to be and what God wants to be for your future in your life as God restores things back to us in the way he wants to, okay? So we need to take and realize again, put our trust in God. He is able to restore the years. And he says, quit thinking about all that you've lost. Start thinking about who God is himself, that God can restore back to us the years, the cankerworm, the palmer worm has eaten, as Joel also promises in a prophetic realm to the body of Christ today in 2016. I've got three, again, what I call take-home points about restoration this morning. I want you to write these things down, if you would, please. These are going to be very, very important to grasp at the foundation level of restoration. This morning, again, is introduction to restoration. It's going to be the very, very foundational first parts of this. We're going to dive more into this in the future as well. But today shall be a good day. So I believe that today is a day that God's going to help bring some restoration things in motion in people's lives where we leave this place today because God's with us and God loves us. Number one, first thing is, note this. Restoration is part of kingdom vocabulary. The word restore is actually a part of God's kingdom. The word restore is part of God's nature. The word restore is part of God's promises to his people. And the word restore is not talked about very much in the body of Christ today, but it should be. Because God is able to restore anything the enemy or the world or circumstances has robbed from us, as only he can do. Is there scriptures to back this up? I'm glad you asked that question. We're now in Acts chapter 3. We're going to see what God's word says about restoration. Is restoration really a kingdom word? And a kingdom principle and a kingdom truth. Because if it is, we can lay hold of it, we can see it realized in our lives, and it can bring forth the fruit that God wants us to bring forth even today with God's help. In Acts chapter 3, Peter, we all know that Jesus Christ has died on the cross, rose again, 50 days goes by, day of Pentecost comes, Spirit of God falls upon the upper room, 120 people get baptized in the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire appear over them. They go out there and they say these guys are drunk. They're speaking in all kinds of weird languages, but they're giving forth the glories and praises about God and his kingdom. Then the Bible says that Peter brings forth a message, a sermon, that 3,000 people come to Christ in one message. I want to preach a message like that myself on my bucket list. Amen? May it be so. I haven't seen quite 3,000. We've seen 100 get saved in one service, not quite 3,000 yet. But we'll see what God does. Amen. So Acts chapter 3, Peter is preaching to the people of Israel and Jerusalem. And he's explaining the background of Jesus, explaining who Christ was, rebuking them for not knowing who he was, for crucifying him, for disobeying him, for abusing him, rebelling against him. All the rebukes come out of Peter's mouth. And then in chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, Peter goes on and finally says this to this crowd today, that day. He says, repent. Therefore, Again, what's the word repent mean? Repent means change your mind. It means your mind thought this way, your mind now thinks this way, and now your mind lines up with what God's mind is. And the mind is you need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. This word of refreshing has happened 2,000 years ago and is still happening today. We don't need to always pray every day that refreshing comes to us, because refreshing's already here, already purchased by the blood of Christ. What God is saying is embrace that refreshing. Say, Lord God, you have paid the price through Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit now lives among us. I receive your refreshing work in my life this day in Jesus' name. Refreshing is here among us. It'll be reached out and grasped. I believe that today. Then it goes on and says, that he, God, may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until, notice this, the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world has begun. Now notice here it says again, until the restoration of all things. One translation actually says, until all things that were lost will be restored. That's a good word to you and I today. All things that have been lost can be restored with God's help. I want you to start thinking right now about things you've lost in your life. And I want to say that nothing is lost so bad, but God cannot bring forth to you what you had before and even bring forth more as well. Now, why would God want to restore things to us? Children are a reflection of their parents. Our Father, Abba, Daddy, God, is God, the Lord, Jehovah, great God, Almighty. And in his kingdom, he says, in my kingdom is restoration. What's in my kingdom goes to my children, so they also go through a thing called restoration. God wants people around you to see the restoration God brings into your life, that he might show himself off to folks around you, that they may envy what you've got in your life. They want to see, God wants there to be a smile on your face that is so big, it will cause your co-workers to get jealous. He wants you to have strong marriages, healthy marriages, good, strong, healthy, spiritual, godly children. He wants your finances in order. He wants your health to be made right and whole. He wants all these things, not just for your sake, but also the ungodly folks around you for their sake, that they may start envying what you've got and somehow, some way, receive Jesus Christ themselves as Lord and Savior. Amen? God restores things not just for you, it's for those around you that you influence also in your life. Matthew 5:16 says this, let your light so shine before men, they will see your good works, the good works God does in you and through you, and one day they will glorify the Father which is in heaven. One thing God spoke to my heart years ago was this. Start picturing unbelieving co-workers and neighbors and family members as praising God, as worshiping God, as being in church services like this, as reading their Bibles. I'm not talking about some kind of a New Age image type of a witchcraft thing, but I'm saying start seeing things, seeing people the way God sees them, because God always sees people by faith. Not as they are, but as they were made to be. Every human, I believe God's got a mark on their lives for a destiny that he made from the foundations of the earth. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. And he said also, I would that all men would be saved. So I don't care how much of a scoundrel they are today, they are not so lost they cannot be found by the love and the salvation of Jesus Christ. I'm saying don't speak death over your co-workers and unsaved loved ones around you, because nobody is so far gone that God can't get a hold of them and draw them to himself. Amen? Speak life over their life with God's help. Some of you, even as children, have actually got a room inside your house, inside the house of your own soul and your mind, that's actually locked and shut, because that room represents a trauma or a painful thing, a hurtful thing, a death-filled thing that you might have gone through in times past. That room there is locked up, and is off limits to all folks around you. I've heard time and time again folks that come back from Vietnam, come back from World War II a long time ago, from Korean War, from the Iraqi War as well. They'll say to their family members and friends many, many times, I don't want to talk about what I saw and experienced in the time of war. It was so dramatic. It was so hell-filled. It was just so heinous. It was so bad and so evil. They don't even want to bring those memories back up in their minds once again and speak those things out of their mouths. There actually are some rooms that are locked up that God's saying to you today, my son Jesus Christ is standing right there beside you at the door of that room. Not trying to push and force the door down or go in that door himself, but he's standing beside you saying, I am the one that can take and open that door up with you and see that that lock gets removed and see that healing takes place into your life. The thing that's dragging you down today, God can come forth by his own son, Jesus Christ, and bring forth again his beauty for your ashes and bring forth his deliverance for your bondage and bring forth healing where there's been a place of pain and corruption and all kinds of bad feelings and thoughts that weigh you down in your life. The good news is that you're not standing at that door by yourself, that Jesus Christ is standing there with you. When you open this door, he'll go in that room with you. He'll bring restoration to your life in that area of your life. Any door we open up to him, the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Those who open that door up to me, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to sup with them. I'm going to dine with them. I'm going to bring forth my healing balm, says God. I'm going to bring forth restoration. Only I can bring forth. We've got to ask ourselves this morning, what closed rooms do you have in your minds, your soul, things you've gone through at the hands of evil people? You that are here that are youth, some children as well upstairs, have already experienced perhaps the realms of evil by uncles, by aunts, by sometimes step-parents, by mothers, by fathers. You've seen things in life as wounded and brought hurt to your life. You that are adults have seen things take place by those who were friends that betrayed you, that turned their back on you, that became a Judas to you. We've all seen evil people do evil things in our lives. And God is saying, is there a shut room in our hearts because of the evil that man has done against us? Well, realize again that Jesus Christ has come to set captives free. Amen? To take and put a key in that door, unlock that door, and bring forth to you a healing, and bring forth a refreshing, and bring forth a restoration. Only he can bring forth. You may have lost your innocence. You may have lost your peace of mind by a post-traumatic stress disorder producing type thing in your life. You might have even lost a child by disease or death or car crash or whatever. But God is saying again, there's no thing you've lost that God cannot bring forth recompense to you in a way that will totally astound you, that can't be explained by mankind or by a psychiatrist. Only can be done by God himself, who is a prince of peace upon the earth. Amen? I'm saying again, truthfully, nothing is too hard for my God. Amen. And he's come to bind up the brokenhearted, and he's come to set the captives free. You're going forward. Some of you folks have this locked up room because you have to. You find yourself perhaps going to work and being a mother and being a father or being a single parent or a single person. And every day this whole thing's being dragged behind you, a weight that's too big for you to bear. And that's why it says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Those weights belong to God and not to you. Amen? Number two, I want to say, write this thing down, also number two about restoration is this. Restoration always means more than the original. Restoration means more than the original. You know, I love watching those TV shows sometimes. They take and bring a 69 Camaro or a 65 Mustang out from the junk heap here in Texas or whatever, and they restore that car back to showroom condition. They put mags on it. They put on wide wheels. They put on a brand-new Holley carburetor. They put in a four-speed transmission. They chrome all the engine parts there. They bring brand-new leather for the interior, put in some Bose speakers, and they have a big old giant boom box going there. I mean, this whole thing just can rattle the whole neighborhood, amen? They actually make it almost better than before. What God is saying to us is some things can be restored back to their original condition, and some things really cannot be. But in God's kingdom, all things can be restored back to better than you had before, as the Bible tells us. Because sometimes original condition is not possible, but God says above that is possible. It says this in Exodus chapter 22. Let's look at this now on the screen. Exodus 22 verse 1 gives these words. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall do what? He shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. In God's economy, he didn't say pay back 1 ox for 1 ox stolen. He says pay back 5 ox for 1 ox stolen. God always pays back more than was taken, because God's the God of abundance, and God's a God that multiplies, and God's a God that brings back more than enough. When God restores, it's always more and not less. You lost a friendship, God brings you a better friend. You lose a job, God brings you a better job. You lose your house, God can bring back a better house. You lose your peace, God brings back more peace on the other side. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know goodness and mercy follows me. He shall restore and put a cup back into my hands, and I shall live with him forever and ever as well upon the earth. One more verse about this. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 30 and 31 says these words. Proverbs 6, 30 and 31. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. I'm going to stop there and say, we all know the thief is who? The thief is the devil, the enemy. Well, the fact is, the devil is starving to kill and steal and destroy. He's like a ravenous wolf. He cannot wait to try to find some way to eat your flesh, to make your flesh manifest and eat your flesh. As God said back in Genesis, I'm going to cause the serpent to eat the dust of the ground. And the dust is what man was made from. But Jesus, God says this, I'm going to put the devil under your feet. Every place you tread or walk has been given to you. So the serpent on the eating dust down there is under your feet by the power of Jesus Christ. Okay? So moving on here, he goes on and says, he satisfies himself when he is starving, which is what Satan's like, a starving, ravenous wolf. Yet, when he is found, today he's found, he must, notice this word, restore 7-fold. The devil takes 1 cup, God says pay back 7 cups. Yes. Devil takes away from you 1 child, God says bring back somehow 7 children. Satan brings, it takes away $1,000, God says somehow bring back $7,000. When the thief is found, you must pay back 7-fold. You always get back more in God's kingdom than you lost. Amen. So moving on here, I want to say as Iris is gone today, her family's been coming in town. Her mother died last week. I found the memorial service. I went to her service, and Cheryl and I did in a place called Dale, Texas, about 50 miles away on, I think it was, wasn't that Thursday morning, precious service, totally packed out with people in the church she was raised in, a little Baptist church, over 100 years old, I'm sure. And I found out that Iris's mother had 56 great-grandchildren, 43 grandchildren, 8, was it, children, and then brothers and sisters. And she's the first one to die of all of them. She was 70-some years old. What I also saw there was she was a woman of laughter, a woman of joy, a woman that loved dancing and going to good, godly Christian-type parties. And she was a woman that just loved to have bright things and loved to have people to love and hug and kiss and be around, loved her kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. There's all kind of good things talked about her in that service in Dale, Texas on Thursday morning. But I want to say, what about if somebody in that service, though, they loved her so much, they went home that day after the balloons being released, after the great festival and the great feasting, the lunch afterwards and so forth, they might have gone home by themselves that night and laid down upon their beds and cried their eyes out till morning at the loss of their grandmother, their mother, their sister, their great-great, their great-grandmother. People could have done that. And what God is saying to you and I is this. We don't mourn the way the world does. We don't grieve the way the world grieves. Because in heaven, all heaven rejoices, because now Iris's mother is up there enjoying herself in the presence of Almighty God. And God is saying, don't let us grieve down here on this earth for a long time for those that are rejoicing in God's presence forevermore in heaven. I don't want to see my wife, my kids die before I do. If they do die, I'm going to cry a whole lot of tears. But I'm going to choose right now today and say, I will not let their loss put me into total depression the rest of the days of my life. That loss will not be dragged around by me as long as I live on this earth. Amen. And I'm saying, we're going to miss them. We're going to be sorry they're gone. But the good news is they're having the time of their lives in heaven, rejoicing in God's presence. And Christ is saying, they're happy here. Please be happy down there. Don't ruin and waste your life, spending all your life now carrying around a loss in your heart, in your mind, by what's gone. No matter what you've lost, God can apply His power to restore in that situation. Amen? Last of all, number three is this. You don't have to be perfect to receive restoration. Let's look now at Luke chapter 5 to verify this one. Luke chapter 5. You don't have to be perfect to receive restoration. Luke 5 is Christ and disciples going out, or He's calling folks to become disciples here, including Peter, James, and John. And chapter 5, verse 1 says this. So it was, as the multitudes pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, that He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And He saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Notice that word nets, plural. Then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. He asked him to put out a little from the shore, the land, and He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When He stopped speaking, He said to Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets, plural, notice that, for a catch. But Simon answered and said to Him, Master, we have worked and toiled all night and caught nothing. But here's the good news. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net, singular. Jesus said nets, Paul said net, okay? Notice that. Verse 6, when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began also to sink. Notice again, Christ Jesus said nets, and Peter says net. Even though Peter gave partial obedience, notice that Jesus gave full restoration. The amount that Jesus Christ released to Peter did not change by his partial obedience. He just simply said, I'm going to have to bring other folks around you now to help make sure what I want to give you comes to you. I said nets, you said net. But the good news is you obeyed me at least partially. I'm going to use that at least partial obedience there. I'm going to bring forth full restoration because you lost the entire night catching no fish. I'm going to bring forth in 1 minute what you lost in one entire evening of your body and your labor and your work. Can God do that today? And the answer is yes. God can fill our nets up, and God will say to us, even though I'm not perfect, even though I only have faith for one net getting filled up a little bit perhaps, or five or six fish, Christ says, my work is still complete. I'm going to bring back full restoration, says the Lord. And what God is saying to us this morning by this note, by this story here is this, I believe. Be prepared to receive back not just part of what you lost, but receive back even more than you lost in Jesus' name. Because the truth is, Peter never had a harvest like that ever that year. He received more than what was normal that night. As all the boats were filled up so full, they even began to sink. Let's look at one more passage just here before we close in prayer in a moment. Exodus chapter 22, going back there, Exodus 22, verse 9. We're talking about you don't have to be perfect to receive restoration. Exodus 22, verse 9 says, for any kind of trespass, whether it concerns an ox or a donkey or a sheep or clothing or for any kind of lost thing, notice that, which another claims to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges. That word judges is a very, very powerful word that actually better translated there as the word Elohim. It's the word Elohim in the Hebrew language, which actually means God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It comes before the Elohim, the judges. And whomever the judges, the Elohim, condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. Here we see now in the Bible, three verses in the Bible, pay five times back, pay four times back, pay double back, pay seven times back. But every single time, God always pays back more than was lost. And what God is saying here in Exodus 22 verse 9 is this. We come before God and we declare to him, that is mine and it belongs to me. We're not telling God that. We're telling the thief who comes to kill and steal and destroy, that is mine and you're going to pay it back. Let's say those three words together as a congregation, if you would. That is mine. One more time. That is mine. Praise God. The key this morning here is, again, what is the that? And as James goes back to the platform to help me out at the end of this service, please, I want to close and say that I believe that God wants to start restoring back to us the things that we sense have been lost in our lives. You might have lost things by a bad investment. You know, again, there's some things you cannot get back, the original. Back whenever Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac collapsed years ago, Ford and Chevrolet and GMC almost all, or Dodge, almost all went broke and bankrupt. Ford did not receive the same help from the government that General Motors did or that Chrysler did, Mopar. Okay, so they kept themselves solvent in many ways. Nevertheless, because of association in the auto industry, Ford stock went down to $1. $1 in 1 week. The next year, Ford stock was worth $10 a share. If you'd bought $10,000 of Ford stock at $1 a piece, in 1 year, you would have had $100,000 in your hands. You see, that won't come back again, probably ever. That came and that went, okay? So there's some things you cannot get back that have already gone away. But the good news is, because of who God is, no matter what you've lost in life, God can pay back to you in his way even more than you lost in Jesus' name. The key this morning is this. We need to ask ourselves, what is the door in my mind, my heart, that has been locked and shut that I don't want anybody to look into? I don't want to open that thing up. There's too much pain. There's too much anguish. There's too much rejection. There's too much whatever. And God is saying, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man comes, opens that door and invites me in, I will sup and dine with him, and I will bless him, and I'll restore back to him everything the enemy's stolen from him. We're going to pray for the congregation first here. I want to have a time also to pray for baby Elijah before we leave today, because God's restoring back to him his body, his health, his organs. But our heads are bowed right now and eyes are closed, just for privacy's sake, again, in this church service on this Sunday morning. I want to ask today, but if you'd be very honest, is there something in your life that you already identified that's been lost? Friendship, relationship, finances, health, marriage, relationship, first love of others that were there, good friends that have left you, betrayed you, turned their back on you. Is anybody in this place here, would you raise your hand right now if you've suffered loss in some way like this? Just raise your hand. Just right across the congregation. Praise you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I want us all to go ahead and just stand to our feet now. If you could do that, please. Let's all stand up. I want those whose hands were raised up, if you make one more bold step this morning, please, come out of your seats. Come to the front. Stand up here, because I believe there's an anointing today to start setting in motion restoration back into your life. Those things that were lost. Go ahead and come to the front. If your hand was raised up, quickly come to the front. Just stand side by side. Prayer partners, also come to the front. Help me out with Cheryl's help as well. Bring baby Elijah up here too, if he's still here, if you can do that. This baby was born with half a heart, given no chance to live by doctors. And now he's, like Cheryl said this morning, here is a miracle. And God's restoring his heart, his lungs, his kidneys, his organs, his body being restored. We're going to pray for him. We're going to pray for you guys, and what God has begun, God will complete in your life. If you're here today and you're a young person, I want you also to think about, if any man has come against you to wound you, to hurt you, to rob you of innocence or whatever, God is here to restore trust back in your life once again. Only He can bring. You may think you have reason to trust nobody, no God even, but I'm saying God is perfect, God is love, and God is worthy of your total devotion to Him and worthy of your trust. Amen? Praise God. All you that are out there standing down here, let's go ahead and just reach our hands toward heaven right now, please, together. Okay. We'll pray for Elijah then, I guess, now. And you guys keep your hands up. You will keep on praying also together. Let's have the whole congregation put your hands out towards maybe Elijah, the mother here as well. Ask God to take in the work He's begun, this baby's life, complete that work by His Spirit. And Father, we thank You, O God, for baby Elijah, the work You've done in him. We praise You, God, for Your faithfulness. And Lord God, we just right now speak to this body, and we command this heart to continue to grow, to be whole, to be right. Every function comes back in his heart, his lungs, his body, in the name of Jesus. There's no infection. There's no complication from past procedures or medications. And I praise You, God, for soundness and wholeness, healing and life, oh God, being loosed in him. From the top of his head to the sole of his feet, these things are accomplished, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We praise You and thank You. And Your word is yes and amen, that healing is the children's bread. Praise You, God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Yes. We keep on praying for Him. You guys, let's get our hands in the air here. Let's get to praise God, worship God, thank God. Father God, all these folks that are here from left to right that are saying something's been lost in their lives, we just right now say, you have access to the rooms of my heart in the name of Jesus. These doors, oh God, these rooms that have been locked by these doors being locked up, I say, here's the key. Take the key, oh God, and open that door up. Walk with me, Father God, in that door, in that room, and be the one who sits down at the table of my heart and brings forth, oh God, Your beauty. Brings forth, oh God, Your deliverance. Brings forth, oh God, Your healing. Brings forth Your wholeness. Brings forth restoration. In the name of Jesus, I praise You and thank You, oh God. Nothing is too hard for You, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's just speak these words to these people right now. Father, just restore, restore, restore in Jesus' name. Restore in the name of Jesus. Restore, 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 restore in the name of Jesus. Restore, restore, restore in the name of Jesus. Restore, restore in Jesus' name. Restore in the name of Jesus. Restore in Jesus' name. Restore in the name of Jesus. Restore in Jesus' name. Restore, restore in the name of Jesus. Restore. Restore in Jesus' name. Restore. Restore in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We thank You, O God, this day. Restoration comes forth. One thing I hear the Holy Spirit saying as well is, this has been an introduction today about restoration. Try to get these future CDs if you cannot be here. There'll be truths released in the next couple of weeks that are going to be keys to some of you guys' restoration on an ongoing basis. I found how sometimes we pray for folks in altars and great things take place in 1 minute, but then folks lose what they got very shortly after, it seems like. You got to realize that God was taking, bring forth, I believe, from some seed that goes down in deep places and puts down some deep roots and brings forth a fruit that remains in your lives as only He can do. Amen? Well, praise God. Let's just give God praise and thanks right now by a hand clap of praise and thanks to Him. God is good. God is mighty. God is awesome. God is more than enough. And I praise You, God, this day. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Father, we also speak restoration right now over Pflugerville. Everything that's been robbed from Pflugerville comes back in the name of Jesus. We speak restoration to Austin, Texas, to Round Rock, to Hutto, to Maynard and Taylor, to Georgetown, to Buda, to Kyle, to Leander and Cedar Park. We command all the things the enemy has stolen from them to come back in the name of Jesus, more than was there in the realm of the Spirit. in the realms of revival, in the realms of salvation, in the realms of healed homes and healed marriages and restored finances and jobs being released. Restored in the name of Jesus, we praise you, God, this day. The keys, oh God, come to your church to declare these things on an ongoing basis until we see them come to pass. In Jesus' name. We declare our lakes are restored to normal. We declare that the aquifer is restored to normal. We declare that rain patterns are restored back to normal in the name of Jesus. And Father, we praise you, God, this day. Restoration is in our DNA by the kingdom of God. May we live in that, Father. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. God bless you, folks. You go back to your seats, if you would, please. God bless you. God's doing a good work here. I hope this message mainly rings true in your heart, that it's a today, now word for the body of Christ. God wants to restore things in my life, things in your life. Only he can do. I'm going to ask one more time for Jack, if you don't mind helping us out, to dismiss us in prayer. This is Super Bowl Sunday. May the best team win. Won't tell you who I'm after, who I'm for, but I'm just saying that it's going to be a good time for that. Have a great time, a fellowship with friends and family. Go, if you can, to Freddy's. If you're a youth or youth parent, you'll enjoy that as well. And come back here Valentine Sunday, rejoicing in the good things you did for your wife and your husband and your children and your loved ones. Amen. And it's going to be a good week here to produce a whole lot of good fruit with God's help. God bless you, folks. We love you, and you have a good week coming up here.
Hallelujah. Couple quick reminders. The youth have lunch after the service, so don't forget that. And then Wednesday night, it's barbecue chicken. Is that what I'm hearing? Barbecue chicken, $3. Be there or go hungry. It's going to be good stuff. I want to share a quick scripture with you. It's right along with what Pastor taught on. This is out of Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. Now, guys, this is you. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is you. So please listen. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. And that goes right along with that restoration. You're called to be kings and priests. He is going to fight on your behalf. He's going to see that you have what belongs to you, and he's going to multiply it back to you. Though the enemy comes to rob, kill, and destroy, he will come and recover it and restore it in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for this wonderful family of believers. And I pray, Father, that they would embrace your blessings and your truths more and more as the days go by. We give you praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus. Be blessed.